is good to see one back for this afternoon. This afternoon, the assignment or the verse that I was given is found in James chapter 4, verse 15. And for this lesson that we're going to be talking about, I guess the best kind of summarize it would be to not boast about tomorrow. But here in James chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible reads, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Now this verse, I'm sure many of us have heard before, but we're going to set a little time aside to look at the concept being introduced to us in this brief portion of Scripture. Now, like many lessons, we want to begin in setting the scene, or possibly getting some context, in order for us to have a better understanding of what we're reading. So if you can roll back with me to the beginning of the book of James. We read in James chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings." Now we know, beginning in James, that he's talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. We know that he's talking to all the children of Israel that have been scattered. But we also know that through James, God is talking to us. And we are able to gather instruction, guidance, and knowledge through James and him writing to the 12 tribes of Israel. He's talking to us through his holy word, and he's talking to you, he's talking to you, and he's talking to me. Throughout the book of James, we are given guidance, and we are given instruction, and we are given a peek through a keyhole of what could be described as a portrait of his Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Part of a roadmap as to how we could, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should walk, how we should talk, and yes, how we should properly plan for a future we are not technically guaranteed. In the beginning of James, we are taught about profiting and growing through trials that we may face. In James' second chapter, we are given insight into the dangers of personal favoritism and that we are justified by our works and not just by our faith. In James chapter 3, he shares with us the dangers of the tongue as well as teaching us heavenly wisdom versus wisdom of the world. As James continues with chapter 4 by teaching us that pride promotes strife, and humility can help stave off worldliness, and we are not to be the judge or condemners of our brothers and sisters. Now we have now reached the portion of the book of James where he is wishing to share with the children of Israel, and God wishes to share with us that we mustn't boast of tomorrow. Now, for just a short time this evening, we're going to be talking about this. And speaking about this briefly, it will be a short lesson, but just beginning in verse 13 of chapter 4, here God's word reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." And this was verses 13 through 16. In verse 13, we read that there are those that would make plans to travel, to conduct business for gain, or those who plan to become very rich and wealthy. And in verse 14, we are informed that not only are we not promised tomorrow, or the day after that, or the day after that, but we are also told that through God's holy word, that our time here on this earthly plane is not a sustainable element, interwoven in the fabric of this world, but it is a vapor that appears for a moment in time, and then vanishes. We are given warning, but now we have approached verse 15. Verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 expresses what we are to do now. James says that we should now say, If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If you have grown up in the church or started going to church or being part of a congregation at an early age, then you may have heard or heard this story. I'm sure many of us are very familiar with this verse and this teaching. We have probably even heard this in public prayer, but the point is not that we would continue thinking how we think and acting how we act, but just tack on the phrase, if the Lord wills. We may have experienced this in the world. We may have had an uncle or a grandparent or something to that effect, that everything they say and do when they make plans, they may end it with if the Lord wills, just kind of haphazardly, not really taking into consideration what it really means. That's not the point James is making at all. God willing is not to be just a slogan. Now, of course, I am not saying that to say that is wrong in any way. But as many things that we do or the many things that we say, the importance is the intent and what we mean by it. It is important for us to have God's will in the forefront of our minds. And if the plans that we make achieve that or have that in mind, then of course, beginning a plan with the Lord willing or a greeting or a goodbye with Lord willing, of course, then there's no problem with that. But it is not just something we say. God wants us to believe these words. We see the Apostle Paul regularly saying, if it is God's will, in verses like Acts chapter 18, verse 21. Also, 1 Corinthians 4 and 19. Romans 1 and 10. 1 Corinthians 16 and 7. Philippians 2, 19 and 24. Hebrews 6, verse 3, and so on. We see Jesus saying this with the intensity of his prayer just before he is going to be arrested. Jesus said, "Yet not as I will, but as you will," in Matthew 26, verse 39. If it is the Lord's will is not just a phrase, but it is to be the constant way of thinking for the Christian. It is how we must think in our lives today. We as Christians are to understand that everything in life is by the will of God and by the power of God. When you look carefully at what James says, first, if it is the Lord's will, we will live. It is only by the Lord's will that you and I are here today. We do not have power over that. We know that we do not have power over that. And if you think about it, you may ask yourself, have you ever tried to exert power over your own life? Give you an example. Have you ever tried to breathe? Have you ever noticed that when you stop and actually begin to think about it, have you ever noticed that when you start trying to just think about breathing, sometimes your breathing starts to mess up or get out of sync? Do you have to will yourself to breathe while you're asleep? No. You don't have to even think about it. Breathing works when you aren't thinking about breathing. Can you make your heart take its next beat? Can you keep it in rhythm? God has made our bodies and has power over it. It is only the Lord's will that we will take another breath. Second, if it is the Lord's will, we will do this or that. God has completely reset our lives so that we would see that we really have no control over tomorrow and what you are going to do. Now we are able to appreciate how much life is completely by the will of God. If it is the Lord's will, I'll be able to take vacation next year. If it is by the Lord's will, we will continue to have good health. If it is the Lord's will, we will be able to carry out whatever plan we may make. This is the attitude that God wants from us. When we act like we are sovereign over our lives, when we think we've got just about everything under control, we may begin to lack humility. When we think we have control and have power, then we will lose our humility. Humility realizes that we do not have power over the next breath we take. Humility realizes that only God will allow any plan we make to come to pass. Saying if the Lord wills was not meant, or does not mean that we will do whatever we want as long as we are alive. Sometimes a phrase was used that way. We may know of individuals that may possibly practice this. But that's not the point. It's not the point for us to go on assuming that we can do what we would wish and God's just going to let our plans flourish. God can actually wreck our plans. Think about how God has wrecked the life plans of Joseph to carry out his own purpose. We are not sovereign over our own lives. God is sovereign over all people. So we are not doing what we want to do. We are not doing what we are doing if God allows it. This verse is trying to get us to realize and accept our complete dependence on God. We see this point strongly made by James in verse 16. It says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. What does James mean to tell us that we are boasting in our arrogance? We boast in our arrogance when we think that we have power to carry out our plans. We boast in our arrogance when we think that we have power over our own lives with nothing to get in our way. Jesus gave warning about this kind of thinking with the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. You need to listen to what Jesus says in this parable. It says, as he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. This is Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 19. See, here he thinks too much of his own power and ability, and therefore arrogantly makes his plans. He thinks he's got a great idea. He thinks everything's going well. He's been so abundant in his years so far. Why wouldn't he think that he could just easily just continue on? But notice what Jesus says next. Luke chapter 12, verse 20, it says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? We are told that our life here on this earth is like a vapor. It's short. We don't know how long it will last. We have some degree with the technology we have and the idea and the average lifespan of an individual in today's time. We have an idea of roughly between how many years we may have, but we have no idea what stands out that door when we leave this afternoon. We don't know what could possibly happen. We don't know how many variables there are that are quantifying against us in regards to us being able to sustain here in this life. We don't know what tomorrow holds or if there will be a tomorrow. He thought he had control over his life and his plans, and he was completely wrong. Pride thinks that our actions are independent of God and his power. We think too much of our power. Making our plans arrogantly is what James is telling us. All plans are to be made with the recognition that such a plan can only happen because God allows it to happen. It will only be because God gives us breath and allows us to do what we desire. So what should we do? Well, in chapter 4, verse 17, we may ask ourselves this question. How is thinking supposed to change our way of life? How is this thinking going to change anything? We are living in a time right now that has opened our eyes to the truth of what James taught. You know, we've heard this lesson preached before in this particular portion of Scripture. We've all have read Luke chapter 12. But after what's happened over the past couple years, I don't think anything has really brought this into a form of us being able to understand in real world circumstances. Nothing has really been able to drive home what lesson James is trying to teach us than when the pandemic came about. You want to talk about putting an entire screeching halt to anybody's plans. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. We do not know about our life because it is just a mist. So what are we to do? First look at verse 17. It says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. This means that you, if you know to do right, then do it. Do it today. Because you don't know that you will have the opportunity to do right tomorrow. We must live righteously before God today, because we do not know that we will have tomorrow to do so. We need to live rightly with our spouses, with children, with our families, our friends, and our colleagues, because we do not know if we can do it, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. We cannot and will not say in our hearts that we will do better tomorrow. We need to do better today. Not only may we not be here tomorrow, but others we may have wronged and not made right with may not be here tomorrow. Life may not be what we think tomorrow. We need to live right today. We must live with reference to the will of God always. I want to take the time, just take a moment, and challenge a common thinking of today. The big question of life in the world today is, when are we going to return to normal? That's a phrase that I'm sure we've all heard many times, to the point where we're probably sick of hearing it. When will we go back to normal? When will things go back to the way that they were? You hear people all over the place continuing to ask this question since the beginning of 2020. But really stop and think. We need to think about this desire for a moment. Do we really want to go back to normal where we took life for granted? That we made plans arrogantly and assumed upon the blessings of God? Do we want to go back to a time where we assumed that we would always have good health? And that nothing could hurt us because we have all this medical technology and this new science? Do we want to go back to a time where we thought our prosperity and wealth would never end because we live in the United States of America? Do we really want to pray for going back to that kind of, in a way, arrogant living? God has a way of pacing us and putting us in points of turmoil in order to forge us to become something else. Something stronger, sharper, more refined. So maybe God does not want us to go back to the way things were, per se, in regards to how we feel and how we may be secure in our own thinking. At least in our lives or in our hearts and minds, perhaps. We should not want to go back to that normal where God, life, and His blessings were simply taken for granted. We must always live with reference to the will of God, where we acknowledge every breath and every blessing and every plan is granted to us by God. That should be the normal life for us as Christians. We want to go forward with a new life that is God-centered and God-glorifying. We want hearts that realize life is about the will of God. Second, this will end to a thankful living, I believe. Paul declared to the Colossian Christians, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Chapter 4, verse 2. We will experience a greater amount of thankful living today when we see that it is all only because God's will. Further, how grateful to God should we be for all the blessings we did experience leading up to today? How grateful should we be for the wealth that we may enjoy, for the vacations that we've been able to take, for the freedoms that we have, for the families that we have, and for the friends that we may have, the work we did, the time we enjoyed, and so on and so on. Rather than looking longingly for the past and what our will may be, let us look to God thankful for the past that we've experienced, and let us look forward to our lives under God's will. I hope something that has been said this afternoon has been beneficial to the congregation. At this time, we do want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, or for any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church, whatever the case may be. Please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.